Just about on time, almost. All right, yeah, it's close. You know, close is good in horseshoes, hand grenades, and Crane Christian Church. Okay, Matthew 3. And guys, I just want to go ahead and say we're doing things a little bit different. Got a little bit different view there. But anyway, we have got almost 6,000 people following what we're doing here. And then with the other sites combined, about 8,000, we're getting that the old sermon stripped off so they can be podcasts. We're going to be telling you about that. And the theoldlawdog.com website is back up. So, and all that will be there eventually. So we got people working on that right now. We are starting a new series that I'm very excited about. The Path of Jesus. The Path of Jesus. Matthew 3. And in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying these words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And John was clothed in camel's hair. So, you know, he was a stylish, snappy dresser. And he was eating locust and wild honey, which I would not recommend under today's circumstances. I like honey, but I'd stay off the locust. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him, confessing their sins. And guess what happened next? You're not going to believe what happened next. Some religious people had some interesting things to say about that. You ain't supposed to be doing that. Grace, you know, and I'll never forget, guys, the first video that I released, I don't know, it's been 5 years ago now. I was out on the property. I had another human being filming me. I had studied and prayed and cried out to God and done all these things over and over and over. And I'll never forget putting it out there on Facebook, and I was so proud of it, and I had people helping and all this stuff. And guess what happened? Somebody shared it. They shared it. I was so excited. And underneath he said, "This is the way not to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." It hurt my feelers. It did. It hurt my feelers. And I was like, you know what? I literally, God, what are you trying to show me? And immediately I went to some people that I know that do this a lot and they said, "We call them the trolls. You ignore the trolls and do what God's called you to do." And so we've continued that, and God has been very good to us. But so in the middle of all that, he is preaching, and they're already, you know, the religious people. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times your first conflict will not be with evil. It will be with religion. Did you know that? If you can clear religion, then you can start dealing with the other folks. Okay, with the laws. A lot of times you have to push through the church. And a guy told me one time, he said, "You know, I can't go to church. There's too much, you know." I said, "Well, did you give up on your family when they don't treat you right?" I mean, no. We've all been hurt in church. Anybody been hurt in church in here before? Hopefully not today. But I'm just telling you, if you've been hurt in church, you're part of a wide group of people. Okay. But I want to tell you, the body of Christ is worth working for. So in the middle of all this, he's getting a lot of likes. John the Baptist is getting a lot of likes on Facebook. He's getting a lot of shares on Instagram. He's getting a lot of stuff like that. Everything's going pretty good. But then he starts preaching. And he says this. He says, "I'm going to tell you, I'm a pretty big deal, but I'm not near the deal that what's coming after me. Are y'all listening? Because we've got a generation of people that are saying, I'm a big deal. Look at me, look at me. I actually posted something the other night. I said, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm eating hot stuff. And I did that as a joke. I hope y'all know that, right? I did that as a joke. But the point being is this. We're a generation of everybody saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. But watch this. He said, there's somebody that's more important than me. We need to come to a point as a culture, as a church, as the bride, as the body of church, as the body of Christ, where we say these words, there is something way more important than me going on around here. And it is the person, not the religion, the person of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the walk of Christ. We're talking about the person of Christ. I love, I think it was years ago, maybe Rob Bell, which some of you guys go, Rob Bell? But anyway, years ago, Rob Bell's, one of the sayings, I was watching one of his videos, and one of the sayings that the rabbis had back then is they want to follow so close to the rabbi that the dust from his sandals got on them. And that's 18, 24, 30, according to how dusty it is, I guess, maybe 3 foot, but you got to stay with him. If you're off on this path and you're off on this path, it's not going to get on you, is it? Okay, so watch this. Are you dusty this morning? Are you dusty? Are you following this person that we're going to be talking about? I just tried to figure out how long we've been doing Genesis through 2 Samuel. I think it's been 3 years. So this may be a series. This may take a while. Okay. The good news is I'm going to do this till I'm done. How's that? We'll just leave it like that. So I baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. That should be our attitude. Is that our attitude? Or is it all about me and here's Jesus over here? Is it all about me and we're going to keep Jesus over here? It is not all about me. It is not all about you. It is all about him. And John the Baptist saw this. He understood it. And listen to these words that he said. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, a little history, because I like history. History helps me frame the present. Does that make sense? So let's say that you are part of the Jewish community. And there was a Gentile that you met at the convenience store. And you begin to talk to him about Yahweh, the one true God. And he said, man, that sounds good. And you begin to talk to him about covenant. And he says, man, that sounds good. And you begin to tell you the story of how he brought them out of Egypt and how he has delivered in Israel as his prized possession and his covenant people. And that Gentile said, man, that sounds good. So if he was a guy, okay, he wanted to walk that path, he would have to be circumcised, okay? Toby just read about circumcision of the heart. We don't have time for all that, okay? At one point we did say we could incarcerate, marry, bury. We had it all. It's like a one-stop shop here at Crane Christian. If you need to go to jail, we can take care of that, you know. All of that could be done. You could marry, bury, incarcerate, you know, baptize. But we never could get the circumcision part down. So anyway, but the bottom line is this. Watch this. Literally, that Gentile would be baptized into Judaism. Did you know that? This is not a new idea. It's the washing away of the old and the becoming new. That what was dead is now alive. A picture. If you like pictures, it's a beautiful picture. So watch this, guys. He will baptize you something past what we are doing with the Holy Spirit and fire. I'm going to tell you, I could go down to the feed store because I already priced one. a big tub, okay, and we could put a sign out here and we could say baptism $5. Okay, and we could just start doing that. I got a degree in business, so I'm always thinking about business opportunities. And we could do this. We could do this, right? We could do that. And we could baptize, and that would be good. I have the ability to do that. But I'm going to tell you what I did not have the ability to do. It's what God does. Watch this. Baptism of fire. Of fire. And I want to tell you something. Religion never gives you fire. What it does is it can give you a path and a purpose, but it never gives you fire. The Holy Ghost gives you fire. And you say, well, you know, this is a non-denominational Christian church, community church. We said it like four times last week, the community Christian church, because it says community building and Christian church. And Pastor Jeremiah was using the word community over and over. And I said, yeah, you're right. You know, that may not be the name, but you're right. It's a community church. But here's the deal. We can't leave the Holy Spirit out of what we're doing. We haven't, nobody that I've seen this morning, I hadn't paid attention to all of you, has jumped a pew or hollered or anything yet. But you know, the day, the sermon, it's early. Okay, we ain't got started. But here's the deal. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God, by his amazing grace, filling you with his Spirit and giving you power to live, to work, to be the person, the man or woman he's called you to do. And I'm telling you, that's his desire for you. John the Baptist saw it before he ever saw it. Now, he knew Jesus was his cousin. Because, you know, I know a lot about my cousins. Y'all don't. Okay. Don't worry. I'm keeping moving. Okay. So, then he says these words. The winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. I'm going to tell you something. Our dead works, all the buildings we build, all the steeples we've got, all of that, unless it's bringing glory to Jesus, it ain't going to stay. It ain't going to do nothing. We can have the best website. We can have the best this. We can have the best. But I'm going to tell you something. That's just, if it's not a tool that we're using to get people to Jesus. Okay, are you following me? Because I am, Toby actually used the word this morning, dude. You better quit reading my notes. He literally, as he's walking away after he's talking about it, he says these words. He says, so that we can continue to tell the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something. It's so simple that a child need not err from the truth, but we need to mature people to adults so they can create those children in the Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. So Jesus then shows up. Then Jesus came from Galilee. He's in verse 13. To John the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him by saying, I need to be baptized for you and you're coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so. The first red that's in this, the book of Matthew, the first red letter. Permit it to me to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, guys, I want to tell you, this is a struggle that as God calls you to your next level, and he's calling people to their next level, as he calls you to this next level, this is a struggle. Because John is saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to baptize the Lamb. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, you'll never be worthy. The reason that you're worthy in the Spirit is because Jesus said, it's paid for. Amen. And when he said it was paid for, listen to me. If we go to the Chinese restaurant and I walk up there and give them the magic card and you go up there and try to pay for it, they're going to say, that's been handled. Is that what happens? It's been handled. If I go up there and I just pay for mine, and then you got to pay for yours. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, when he said it's finished, it's paid for, you can drag around that guilt. You can drag around that shame. You can pack it and carry it everywhere you want, because the devil will beat you to death with you. He will make you impotent with that. And I don't mean important. He will make you impotent with that guilt and shame. And I want to tell you something. You're not worthy. Merry Christmas. And you'll never be worthy outside of his grace. We just spent 3 years talking about the men and women that God used. I hope you was paying attention some of the time, because he used a bunch of scoundrels. Okay. And my buddy Paul, he says it way better than I could ever say it. I'm trying to do the right thing and I'm unable to. I'm trying, and the things I'm trying to do, I can't do. Is that what he says? While he's busy about, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, writing the stuff that we're going to be reading later on as we work our way through the New Testament. I mean, come on. Are you following me? You're not worthy. You know, you're going to have to take some stuff with you. Here's the deal. And a lot of the stuff in 55 years of following the Lord has fallen off. It just fell off. It wasn't used, and so it just fell off. Does that make sense? And the same thing will happen to us. But here's the deal. Jesus answered and said, it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. You representing him, you being Jesus to this community, you doing that fulfills his goal, his purposes, and his righteousness. And a few books later, John's going to be saying, are you sure you're the one? You remember that? I love that. And you go, Bruce, why would you love that? Because he reminds me of me. He's my scapegoat. If John the Baptist can act like that, so can I. You know, I'm serious. And chosen, selected, preordained from the foundation of the earth to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Amen. What kind of job is that? You see what I'm saying? And then he's doubting. You can doubt. God's big enough. Amen. God, I don't know why you did that. Do you really love me? I don't know why that happened. Do you listen, if you never argue with God, you don't have a relationship with God. Not like, okay, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying, never mind. Okay. We'll just keep going. So the next thing that happens is this. When he was baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. Okay. A few years ago, I took a college course called Rural and Urban Sociology. This is what they said about us hillbillies, that we are religious and superstitious. That's what they said. You're religious and superstitious. Yep. Okay. And when they said that, I almost stood up and said, yes, I am. So, because I'm from a religious and a superstitious background. Okay. But here, I want you to watch this. So here's the deal. This is what happened that day. And this is a picture. Watch carefully. Descending, it wasn't a dove. It was like a dove. Okay. And landing upon him, alighting. I don't like the word alighting. It reminds me of those little things you like to barbecue grill with. A lighter. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now I want you to hear me wherever you're at this morning, wherever you're at this morning on your path. Ladies, men, I'm going to speak something over you. I want you to hear it in your spirit. Listen to these words. You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. And you said, I haven't done it right. I haven't done this right. I've messed this up. Yes, you have. But listen, God is God, and he has the ability to do what you cannot do. He is making the choice that you're his. And if you're listening to this morning, if it's speaking to your heart, receive this and quit dragging around all that baggage of doubt and shame. And so Jesus is baptized. He has fulfilled, in his own words, all righteousness. I'm going to throw in a commercial real quick. Essentially, the Bible says, if you believe and are baptized, you will be saved. Does it say that? Yes. Is that what it says? Yes. Okay. So baptism is important, isn't it? Okay. I'm not saying baptism saves you. I'm saying it's showing everybody I have decided to follow Jesus. And it's also entering into that covenant. It's walking. It's a picture of that covenant, that death and life. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, he was led. Another one of them says he was driven. Same word. In other words, he was pushed to be tempted. I want to tell you something. When I was in the military, we were issued our uniforms. And every uniform had a little tag either in the pocket or in the other pocket. And it said, inspected by somebody. Okay. They took that somebody took that, held it out, looked at it, made sure it was proven, it was tested, and I'm not saying they put them all on a machine and try to pull them apart, but it was looked at, right? It was inspected. And I want to tell you something. We being me, you fall anywhere you want to, we always say, oh man, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe that happened. I want to tell you something. You can buy a $10,000 worth of exercise equipment and put it in your basement if you have one. If not, you can put it in your yard like the other rednecks. Okay? But watch this, and then mow around it. But watch what I'm saying. But if you don't get on there and exercise and test yourself and push yourself, will you grow? No. And if you don't receive something, and by food, by protein, by whatever however you're doing that, and you don't have the proper nutrients, you're not going to grow. If you don't push yourself, if there's not some degree of uncomfortableness, can y'all follow that? I'm not going to say no pain, no gain, because, you know, please check with your physician before you start a program. Okay. But anyway, that's for the insurance people. So, but here's the deal, guys. Watch this. As you work, there's discomfort, there's pain, there's irritation. It fills up your time, right? Well, I want to tell you something. He was driven to be tempted, to be tested, to be tried. Is that what happened? Okay. And when he had fasted 40 days, does that sound like fun to anybody? I think personally he was fasting Instagram. No, probably not. Maybe fasting Facebook. No, no, he wasn't. He was fasting, okay? And as he fasted those 40 days, okay, afterward he was hungry. Now there's a shocking revelation, okay? And when the tempter came to him, now here's the deal, guys, this is what I want. And I want you to see this, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this at all, but I want you to see this. Are you ready? Okay. The devil's the devil, isn't he? Okay. He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. He's been sneaking around lying since he comes into the picture, right? Okay, but watch this. God is God, the devil isn't. I want you to look at, if you want to read, I can refer to Job. I can refer, it goes on and on and on. Him being cast down. Yes, there is an entity called Satan. Yes, he has demons, dark angel, all this stuff. All that's out there. But listen to what I'm saying. God wins.
Amen.
He won, he wins, and he will win.
Amen.
And is it going to be a war between time? It's, the Bible's clear. You know, is there going to be struggles in it? But we win.
Amen.
And I'll just keep moving. Okay. When the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, does that sound familiar? Did God say that you can't eat them turnip greens? Did God say, whatever those were on the vine, the strawberries, cantaloupe, I don't know, apple? I think all the artists agree it's an apple. It's the easiest one to draw. So if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And here we're going to get our three. Here we go. 3 points. Every preacher needs a poem. I don't have one this morning, but we got 3 points. You ready? Is it written, command these stones to become bread. But he, being Jesus, answered and said, the second time bread is in the Bible, in this version. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3 is what he's quoting. By the way, all you guys who say, oh, I don't need, you can't believe you spend so much time in the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you, that was a book Jesus read, so you do it. Okay. All right. And I love the New Testament. We're here today. So here's the deal. The first thing he tested him with, watch this, is pleasure. Miserable. Don't eat for 40 days. You're hungry, miserable, weak, all those things. Jesus was a real man in a real body. He did not put in the super mode and not suffer. He was suffering. And the first thing he will do is tempt you. The enemy will tempt you with his pleasure. And we could spend a week there. We don't have to. But you know, whatever your temptation is, it can be... there's a long laundry list we could go through. But listen, I did want to say this, though. When pleasure is here, okay, and God is here, guess what? That's an idol. Anything that you put over God, if you put your comfort over God, I'm not comfortable going to church. So? I'm not comfortable telling people about Jesus. So? I'm not comfortable doing this, that, or the other. So, I'm just telling you. I'm not putting you down, but I want to tell you something. Jesus wasn't comfortable right here, okay? But he beat this temptation with the word of God. The Bible says, get together with your brothers and sisters and seek me, doesn't it? Some of y'all forsake the assembling of ourselves together, okay? That he said, don't do that. Okay, but watch this, and I'm not talking, listen, we're not talking about legalism, we're talking about if you want to grow, okay? So, here's the deal, he fasted for strength. It brings clarity, and if you fasted, you know that, and it's always a tough time. So, then, the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. The devil went to church. Now think about it.
Amen.
I want to tell you, years ago there was a play called The Bride. If I can find it, I'll dig it out. I think it's on VHS. But it's about, literally, it was about this guy wrote this play. And in this play, there were these demons. And they always were dressed like religious people. Because I'm probably mad that he'd had some struggles there. But I want to tell you something. What was the biggest push against Jesus? The Romans wouldn't even have gotten involved with Jesus if the religious people weren't falling around going, no, you can't do that. They're going to have our place. They're going to do this. That's not right. That's the right. Do you remember that? Okay. We'll get there. It's a big book. We'll get to it. But watch this, guys. Literally, he goes to church and he says, if you are the Son of God, okay, first it is, if you're the Son of God, doubting who you are. You need to make up your mind this morning. Who are you? Okay. If you're the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So they're in church, or on the roof of the church, and the devil's quoting scripture. You say, well, that just doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't. But guess what? The truth is always first cousin to the lie. They are the most believable truth. If I want you to believe something, I take the truth and turn it this way and pervert it, and it becomes a lie. So here's the deal, guys. And as I was praying over this, as I was thinking about this, I want you to get this. I believe, you don't have to believe this to be saved, but I believe Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified. He talks about it later. He does, you know, and I'm talking about at this point. And what Satan is doing is saying, well, you ain't no need waiting. Let's just get it over with now. Why you want to mess with all these people? We can just go. And the second thing is, or the first thing, he messed it. The temptation was his pleasure. But the second, number two, was he was tempted to twist his purpose and God's timing. What's your purpose? I'm going to tell you. If you want to be the man, the woman God's called you to be, you need to get into the Word of God. You need to get under a mentor. You need to spend time. You need to be mentoring somebody else. And you need to find your purpose and begin to fulfill that now, becoming what you're going to be in eternity. Does that make sense? And that's a fast, down and dirty truth. But we're always, we go back to number one. Well, you know, that's not any fun. You know, people are painting the rear end. Well, yeah, they are. Look in the mirror, okay? The second one is the purpose and what he, and I believe that, I think it was a real temptation, okay? He was looking at everything he's going to have to go through. You know, if he had jumped off the bridge this time or jumped off here this time, you realize, and he had died, he wouldn't take had to take that beating, right? On the other hand, by his stripes, what? Come on. Think about it. Okay. Then the third thing. Well, Jesus, how did Jesus respond? With the word of God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Back up. Also in Deuteronomy. That's Deuteronomy 6 and 16. And again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now watch this, guys. I want you to hear this. This is what I believe. You don't have to believe this. Okay, I believe that the devil had the power to do what he's saying. I don't believe, because see, it'd be like me telling you, yeah, well, I really live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and all y'all been to my house. Okay, you say, he's lying. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knew the devil. Okay, he'd been around a long time. Jesus has been around a long time in heaven. Remember, he left heaven, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I believe when he took him up there on that mountain and he says these words, he took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. You can have all this. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Also in Deuteronomy. So guys, watch this. The enemy is not new. He's doing the same thing now he did 2,000 years ago. He is trying to tempt you with pleasure. He's saying that's going to hurt. If you start back going to church, if you start back giving, if you start back being the person God's called you to be, if you quit using whatever, if you quit, you know, and I'm not on my train this morning of where you should be or what you should do, but I am on my train of you need to be in the presence of the Lord with his people. Okay. And sometimes it's not fun. Okay. I'm thinking about it. You have to listen to me every week, whatever. But here's the deal. Pleasure. You know, there may be, and when you look at, we just got through David, we got through all the deal. I mean, look what pleasure did. When David stays home, he's supposed to be out fighting. He stays home and it sets a path of death and of violence in his house for years. Pleasure, and this is a world of pleasure, okay? We love it. And it will drag you down a plate way you don't want to go. Now listen, have fun. I like to have fun. I've had fun this morning, but have fun. But just remember that he's first and your fun second. Does that make sense? So the second thing that he wants to do is just like he did with Jesus, I want to mess with the timing or your purpose. Your purpose can be destroyed by giving in to him, by giving in to your flesh. And the third thing is this, he will tempt you with the something really big over here, this temptation. Does that make sense? And the good news is that God is careful usually to reveal that at some point that is a trick. So just realize that if it looks like it's too good to be true, it is. Amen. Every day of my career in the last few years, or let's say at least every other day, somebody says, somebody's been online, swindled me out of whatever, right? And here's the deal, if it's too good, and I want to tell you, the enemy's got a lot of things to say, but they're not true. And this culture has a lot of things to say, but they're not true. Even in your own mind, sometimes you'll say, well, I deserve this or that, and it's not true. The reality is that the temptation has come to all of us. And interestingly, he said, after he spoke these words, the scripture three times, get in the word of God. That's the last point about these three, is get into the word of God. Hear the word of God, speak the word of God, read the word of God, study the word of God. And Jesus had heard that John had been put in prison. Okay. But before he heard that, the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. I want to tell you something. Last night, I was standing right down here praying and crying out to God. I'm not by any means saying there's an angel here, okay? What I am saying is being in his presence, being in his spirit, celebrating the fact that he has paid the price for me. I was strengthened and encouraged and directed. Does that make sense? Amen. And as we run around here trying to figure out who's got the cheapest gas or who's the biggest, where I can find a new Subaru, I'm laughing because this morning three Subarus pulled in. And I'm like, that's a sign from the Lord. That's three. Okay. Anyway, but the point, this is not a commercial, by the way. So I want to end up with this, guys. I wore this bracelet for a reason this morning. This bracelet's a friend of mine's business. It's called Indelible, and it says, leave your mark. And I'm going to tell you something. God has given you a mark to leave on this culture, on your family, on this church, in this area, in the spirit. And I want to tell you something. Don't let pleasure, purpose, being thwarted or being tempted with some other kind of power, some other kind of greatness, keep you from fulfilling what God, because Jesus ain't going to let it happen in his life. He's not going to let it happen. He said, this is what the Lord says, and we're going to do that. So bow your heads with me this morning. God, thank you so much for these people. And Lord, in spite of the fact, Lord, there's people here under the sound of my voice, either in person or here or online, that have been disappointed. And Lord, I pray for those who are disappointed this morning, God. Because God, you are the glory and the lifter of my head. And Lord, you said in this life, there will be trouble. But you said that you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And Lord, that is what I want for me, for my family, for my church family, for this region, Lord, is abundant life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not so that I vote for the right person. Not so that I do this. Not so that, Lord, I quit combing my hair like this. Not so that, Lord, I've got this religious dogma. But instead, the dust from your sandals would get on me. And Lord, that sweet smelling savor of the person of Jesus Christ would be reflected in my life. So God, we thank you. I thank you for these people. And if you're at home or you're here and you say, you know what? I need a savior. If you're here in this room and you say, you know what? I've not received Christ. I just want you to stand up right where you are. Just stand up right where you are. And if you're at home, just stand up right where you are. And let's pray together. Father, I need a Savior. I'm broken. I'm a sinner. I need you, Lord. I need your grace. And Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross as the Son of God, as a propitiation for my sins. Just say those words. I believe, Lord. I believe. You say, I've got doubts. I don't know about this. Listen, I want to tell you something. Faith means going forward. Faith is movement. And Lord, as we go forward this morning, Lord, we just pray. We believe, Lord. We need a Savior. We are crying out, Lord. The water is choppy and we're going down, Lord. We reach up our hand to you this morning. Take our hand, precious Lord. Drag us out of this mess and put us in the boat with the rest of these roughneck sailors, oh God, who are on the battleship of love. So God, save us, redeem us. And may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his light shine on you and give you peace. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Guys, send me a message or put like, save, share, all that other stuff. And so glad you've been here with us this morning. Amen.